see everybody out. Always encourage us to be here, to gather together, study God's Word as we can, to uplift and encourage one another, continue, fight the good fight, continue down the path of which we've chosen to go down, the path of which Christ has set for us, and continue faithfully in His Word. Continue to live our lives upon this earth as we've chosen to be here today, chosen because we've chosen to follow the path of which Christ has set, or because we believe in our Lord and Savior and we're searching to find the truth, continue to have the desire to make sure that we know right from wrong, to make sure we are going down the right direction. The knowledge that we have sinned. One of the first things as we get into the qualifications of the elders, we pointed out that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that no one is fully faultless, but as we continue to live our lives upon this earth, we're to try to live our lives and become to that point of blameless where we've overcome temptations and that we've put them behind us. Question we have to ask is when we do sin, and when we have sin in our lives, is how do we take care of it? How is it that you go forth and make sure that you put that sin behind you? And making sure that you have covered the sin correctly. As many have chosen to go different ways in which they take care of their wrongdoing. So I want to take a short moment this morning and talk about that and covering our sin and making sure that we are doing it in the proper and correct way in which God has commanded us to do so. That we take the action in which He has pointed us to and commanded us to do. First to start off with is going forth and talking about a few ways in which many go out and about it in the wrong way. And that they hope that sin will just kind of go on in its own and that it'll be forgotten. And therefore, in that point of view, that hopefully God will just overlook it and that it just not matter, no longer be there. So the first one I want to look at is that some try to hide from what they have done. Some try to put that sin behind them in a matter of hiding from the situation. Acting like it just simply didn't happen or trying to put it behind them in that point of view. In Genesis chapter 3, when we look at when Adam and Eve had committed the first sin and disobeyed God when He told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge. Not to eat of this tree. When they came to see that they were naked and then they heard that the Lord was coming among them. Here in Genesis 3 and verse 8 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So many today may not necessarily hide in that way, but when they're about to commit sin, if they do it in closed doors, as long as no one else is seeing what I'm doing, as long as I do it in secret, and so they think that they can hide from everyone else. They can hide from God, and they can keep this sin a secret. And therefore, as long as it's not public, as long as it's not out there, so many believe that they can get away with the sin. But in Numbers chapter 32, and reading there in verse 23, Numbers 32, and reading verse 23, says, But if you do not do so, take note that you have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. Here it brings out that the sin will find you out. Understanding that there is no private place in which you can hide from God. That in the end, your works, your actions, your decisions, your faith, whatever it is you even decided in your heart that you never spoke out and with your actual mouth, but it's how you truly think,
what you truly believe, your conscience, what you believe. God knows these things. God knows. And we can't hide from our God. He is the all-knowing. He is the great I am. And in the end, we will face our judgment, and He will be our judge. We can't hide from God. So that is not the answer. That is not the way that we should go about trying to cover our sin. Another way in which some try to cover their sin is they try to deny that it ever took place. They try to deny that they ever did such a thing. In Genesis chapter 18, as God is making the covenant again with Abraham, continuing to tell him what he's going to do for him, that he's going to bless them with a child. And Sarah listens from a short distance at the edge of the tent, listening into the conversation here. In Genesis 18, starting in verse 10, he said, "I will certainly return to you according to time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent of the door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh.' She was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Some try to deny it as they hide away from what they have done. And since no other people know what they have said, done, and what goes on behind the doors, they deny it to others. And they can deny it to you, and you can deny it to me. But between you and God know what you have done. As here, God knew what Sarah had done, that she had laughed and mocked, not believing that the Lord could truly provide her a child. Because physically and commonly, as old as they were, it's just not thought of. We weren't talking about just what was possible by mankind, but what was possible by God. And understand, we can't get out of what we have done by just denying it and acting like it never happened. Others will try to blame someone else, play the blame game and point their fingers at others. So common, especially, once again, I look to my children and see how often that one will do something and I'll be, and it's true, the other did it. The other was participating in the action. But so was he. So was both of them. In fact, the one that's pointing the fingers, probably the one that started it. But it's, well, he was doing it. And that's what you see here in Genesis chapter 3, once again going back to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3 verse 12, "Then the man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate.' And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" Once again, they both, you know, have someone else to blame. Now, both knew what they shouldn't do. We read that God told Adam what not to do, and Eve answered the serpent, telling him that, "No, we shouldn't eat of this one tree, lest we surely die." So they both knew what the command was. So they were both accountable for their actions. Whether or not the other person was doing it doesn't make it okay. Whether or not the other person encourages you and tempts you doesn't make it okay. And in the end, they're both trying to blame God. Adam's saying, "The woman who you gave me, it's your fault. I mean, you're the one that gave her to me.
He says, well, the serpent who was here, which once again is creation of God. Easily get caught up in pointing fingers and shifting the blame. Down comes to it, it's what you did, what you chose to do. In 1 Kings chapter 18, if you turn along with me there. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm reading there and starting in verse 17. 1 Kings 18, I'm reading here in verse 17. Here it says, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Once again, so as he comes approaching, he may give them some bad news, telling them, well, you guys are about to get in trouble. You guys are about to face the consequences. You guys are going to be overtaken. God's wrath is about to come. So in his mindset, yeah, you can sit here and say, well, you brought trouble to us. You're telling us bad news. But he's trying to put the blame here on Elijah, on the prophet of God, when he wouldn't have to come and bear this news if they weren't caught up in sin in the first place. If they weren't caught up in worshiping idols in the first place. If they weren't caught up, and if they were just simply obeying the word of God, going to him for their guidance, asking him to make sure when they made decisions that it was according to his will. But instead, they went down their own path. They went down and they made mistakes. And instead of admitting their fault, confessing their wrongdoings, repenting of their actions, they just say, well, it's your fault. They point the finger at somebody else. And it's so easy to do. We can easily get caught up and pointed our fingers at the TV, point our fingers to the radio and to the stars. We can sit there and say it was our siblings' fault, or you can sit there and say, well, everybody at school or everybody at work, it's what. You have to make your own decision. We will be judged each according to our own deeds, according to our own works. Therefore, we can't go forth and just say because of what they're doing, it makes it okay. Matthew chapter 23. Many cover their sins by acting so righteous in front of everybody else. Now once again, they hide their sin behind closed doors. They don't go forth and always do what they should be doing. But when they're surrounded by everybody else, they hide their sin by making the best of the possibility while they're in front of everyone. Matthew 23, starting there in verse 1, says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men, they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places of the feast, the best seats of the synagogue, greeting in the marketplace, and to be called by men Rabbi, Rabbi. Here they when they're out in public, they make it known. They wear the best garments. They make everything big. They shine so as to look like the most righteous person there is. To make it look like they are the most holy of holy. Like they're the best example to follow. And because of their position, many will get caught up and be deceived by their appearance. And once again, to the knowledge of all the people, they may believe that they are, that these are the people that they should be looking to. And as Jesus says, they're teaching what you need to be doing. He says, do what they say, but not as they do. Not all things are to be out there publicly in that manner.
And when you are doing good, with one hand, you hide it from the other. It's not about breaking rights. And this is a way in which they can hide their sin, cover it up, because no one's going to be questioning them. Because they just look like they are the best. Because they are so publicly known for where they sit. Many get caught up in trying to cover their sins by comparing themselves to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, once again, we can get caught up in pointing fingers at others. But better yet, some will get caught up in just saying, well, I don't need to worry about what I've done because I'm still doing better than so-and-so. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, but what, chapter 10 verse 12, it says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves or comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And it says, we dare not compare ourselves to them others, who by standards just compare themselves by themselves and setting their own standards. Look at the example in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9 through 14. As two people enter in and they go into God in prayer, and one starts off his prayer, he says, I thank God that I'm not like everybody else. And I'm not like this tax collector over here. And he starts just praying in a bragging way, saying, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. They okay their sin and their wrongdoings in their hearts because simple matter of, I think I'm better than so-and-so. I put more money in the collection plate than they did, so I'm better off. Well, I did this during the week, so I don't have to do that. When God comes to judge you, He's going to be judging you for what you do and not because of what you do more than someone else, but simply looking at what He has blessed you. What talents has He given you? What ability and capability can you use to help the work of God? And the question is have you been using? Have you been growing? Have you been adding to your faith virtue and knowledge? Knowledge and self-control, perseverance, godliness. Have you been growing? Have you been studying your Bible? Have you been praying? God knows these things. And that's what you're going to be judged by, is by what you choose to do. Not by saying, well, I never obeyed the gospel, but I was at church every Sunday, so I'm doing better than those who did obey the gospel are never here. Not by saying, you know, I never ever committed adultery, so therefore I'm better than them. I never ever told a lie, so I'm better than them. We've all sinned. You may have not done what brother so-and-so have got caught up in and others have got caught up in. You have your own sin that you're accountable for, of which you will be judged for if you have not taken care of it in the correct manner. Many will just simply go and find someone that will teach that is okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside from faith. Plain and simple, that they cover their sins by finding someone to say that they are okay in what they do. They can see that the Word of God is teaching against it, but they can find someone, somewhere, some religion, some denomination that will say, no, don't worry about it. That's old. We can push that behind. We can move to the new age, new time. They ignore the Word of God. And since others are teaching it, and so many are caught up in it, the question once again, how can it be wrong? The way in which so many try to cover their sins, try to take care of their sins by simply finding others that are also doing. Some cover their sins and take care of it by simply saying they have enough time to take care of it. Scott talked about it Wednesday night, about how we don't know how much time we have. We can turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 and read there and tell us that the hour no man knows, that the Lord comes as a thief in the night to destroy this world, where all elements will be melted up and destroyed. So the question is any of these the ways you have taken the path to try to take care of your sin? Because they're the wrong way. That is not what we learn through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. Turn along with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You see, God does want to take care of your sin. God does want to forgive you. Here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Here it brings out that God is willing to forgive. Blessed is the man who has received his forgiveness, who God does not charge against his sin because he has been forgiven. The question is, though, how do you take care of your sin? How do you rid yourself of this? The only way is to do it in which we receive through the words of God. In Acts chapter 2, after they had crucified the Lord and Savior, after they had shouted, "Crucify Him," we see here that they teach the Word of God after receiving the Holy Spirit. And as they go forth and preach and point out the old prophecies, even pointing to David and how he teaches today, you read here in verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" The first part, as we read here in verse 37, is they have acknowledged that they have sinned. They are admitting fault. They know and recognize, they realize that they had part in killing the Son of God. They realize that they had done wrong. Understand, that's going to be our first step. Understanding and admitting, willing to admit that we have sinned. Not to just hide it. Not to just cover it up. Not to just say, "Well, I might have made a mistake, but it's not that big of a mistake as other people have made." But to acknowledge and admit that we have sinned and we need to do something about it. So you ask yourself, have you sinned? And have you taken care of it? And verse 38 tells us what we need to do. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" What shall we do? Repent. Meaning they went from one point of being caught up and doing what everyone else was doing. They were caught up with the heat of the moment, the rush of the crowd, and everybody else saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," as the priest pushed them to cheer it and say it. And they brought the false witnesses against Christ. Repenting means they turn from that way. No longer just doing what everybody else wanted. That means checking the truth, examining the Word, making sure that they were following according to it.
and being baptized for the remission of their sins, washing away their sins. The only way in which we can have our sins forgiven is through the blood of Christ. Going to our Lord and Savior. While we read there in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism does now save. Baptism does now save. Not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience, of a clear conscience with God. By what? Through the resurrection of Christ. Once again, it all points to Christ. That's why He came. That's why He died. It's so that you can be forgiven. So that your sins can be washed away. But you have to be willing to go to Him. You have to be willing to turn to Him. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. A change of mind. Being transformed, as we read there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Of course, if you have been baptized, you have turned to the Lord, but you've stumbled. Because that's going to happen from time to time. That's what we brought out once again in the adult classes. We talked about others. Just because it says one who is blameless doesn't mean he will never, ever sin again. We are human. We have temptations. We have our struggles. And if we do fall short, if we have went back into the world, we can still return to it. But once again, you have to do it the correct way. Not by just ignoring it, not by just saying, well, I made this mistake and now I'm just going to try to do. We still have to turn to God for that forgiveness. Turn to our Lord. Here in Acts chapter 8, in verse 22, here we speak of Simon the sorcerer who had been baptized just earlier in this chapter. After having heard Philip preach and seen the gifts that the Holy Spirit had given him, he ends up being one who is baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. Just a short time later, his heart is back in the wrong place. And so as he offers up money to receive some gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be able to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he is told, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven." Two things we got to do. Three things. Once again, it comes back to admitting that you've done wrong. Because what you're going to repent of, you're not going to be willing to admit that there's something wrong. Why turn away from a certain action if you don't think it's wrong? Or if you still believe it's okay? Realize what the Word of God says. Understand and have your conscience seared through. You also have to ask for forgiveness. You have to go to God and seek His forgiveness. Admitting you've done wrong and asking for forgiveness and then turning, repenting of your sins. No longer walking that path. Understand, I understand that action is more work than a lot of people put. A lot of people think. When we say repent, we just automatically sometimes maybe have the mindset, well, that means they're just not going to do it no more. If it's a way that you've raised, it's a way that you've always been doing, it's something that you just got caught up in and it's a habit, that's not going to change overnight. It's something that you have to be willing to work at. It's something you have to be willing to continue to study and pray about, continue to pray about. Understand, this is how you receive forgiveness of sins. This is how we cover our sins. It's by going to our Lord, by going to our God, and allowing Him to forgive us. Allowing the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. The question is do you have sin in your life today? Not have you ever sinned? I hope that we have taken care of sin in our past, but do you still have sin today? Have you ever turned to the Lord and been baptized into Christ and washed away your sins? If not, we ask you why. If there is any true reason that is keeping you from obeying the gospel, we encourage that you let it be known so that we can study with you, so that we can take care of those actions, so we can take care and help you understand the truth. And then you can be baptized in Christ and have your sins forgiven, knowing that you don't have to face the wrath of God, knowing you have a home in heaven if anything happens. But also, if you have been baptized and you've been struggling with it, we're here for you also. We're here for one another. We've gathered together to encourage one another, to stir up love and good works. So if you need to praise the congregation, or if you desire to be baptized, please let it be known as we stand and sing.
I gave my